This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least 25 people taken to hospitals in Minneapolis after their plane had to make an unscheduled landing there. The problem was severe mid-air turbulence. Adam Nash was on board and says people who weren't strapped in were hitting the ceiling of the plane.
A gentleman two seats down from me, he had a gashed wound in the top of his head, and he was bleeding rather profusely.
The flight was supposed to be headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Dozens more people killed while waiting for food at a crossing in the Gaza Strip. The latest violence around aid distribution centers coming amid more international support for the Palestinians. Canada is now joining France and the UK and saying it will recognize Palestinian statehood in September at the UN General Assembly. Russia attacking Ukraine with more missiles and drones overnight. 8 killed in Kyiv. An Arkansas school teacher charged with murder and the killing of a couple hiking on a state park trail with their daughters. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. An investigation by IRS Criminal Investigations ended in charges against Tam Phan, 40, of Middleton, to tax evasion in connection to her nail salon business, Happy Nails and Spa in Middleton. Phan has been the operator and sole proprietor of Happy Nails and Spa since 2010. The government's investigation revealed that a large percentage of Happy Nails customers paid for their services with cash between 2021 and 2023. However, Phan's tax returns for that time period only reported the credit card sales. During the plea hearing, Phan admitted that she intentionally failed to report the cash sales from Happy Nails and Spa on her 2022 federal tax return. U.S. District Judge William M. Conley scheduled Phan's sentencing for October 28th. Tam Phan faces a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison. A Wisconsin man has pleaded guilty to smuggling lab equipment to Russian companies in violation of U.S. sanctions. Online court records show 68-year-old Andrew Pogosin of Madison entered the plea in federal court on Tuesday. Federal prosecutors charged Pogosin in June in a four-count information with conspiracy to defraud the United States and smuggling goods out of the country. The information claims Pogosin worked through his company, Omega Diagnostics LLC, to ship laboratory equipment to Russian companies, including one that performed chemical research for the Russian military. Pogosin faces up to 35 years in prison when he's sentenced October 7th. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers holding practice in pads on Saturday. They're expecting a sellout for family night at Lambeau Field. Second-year running back Marshawn Lloyd is out with a groin injury. Baseball, the Brewers traveling to D.C. today. They'll face the Washington Nationals tomorrow night. The Crew losing to the Cubs 10-3 yesterday. They won the series 2-1, but fell short of a sweep. Pitcher Freddie Peralta.
I'm happy because we won the series, but, you know, my goal for today was just trying to give my best to sweep them, but you know.
Peralta giving up 5 earned runs in just 4 innings, his worst start of the season. His first pitch of the game, a home run.
Freddie always gives you a chance. He did some good things. You know, he'd like to have that one pitch back. I don't mind that the kid hit the first pitch out of the park, but we got deeper into it. You know, walking people, that's not part of his gig. That's not the best Freddie when he walks people.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to the upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
On this Thursday morning, July 31st, 2025, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here. Back up north, we've got Parker Olson producing the show down in Madison Studio A2, and we've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot here as well. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hostile. I'm grumpy because my coffee mug, which today's one is the mug that says I am silently correcting your grammar, is empty. Ooh. I normally fill it up during the 7 o'clock news, and we just got to chatting throughout the entire news break about things like the beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Bottom line, don't care. don't know enough about it and don't care. But then that got me to say, by the way, in my defense, this is not a rap thing. There's that other big beef, Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. Don't care. Don't know. Don't know what brought it up.
Me neither.
Celebrities having beefs doesn't move me. Other people, it moves them a lot. You know, I've got Tony up in Ashland was saying that he was all in on the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef. So many songs, so quick and all very high quality, and noted that he is on Team Kendrick. When I mentioned Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni, he texted in, that one I don't care about. And for the end of Lasagna Awareness Month, Robin Tigerton. He did, in fact, have lasagna. He had it for dinner. What was it, on Tuesday, I think? Yeah, there it is, Tuesday, after work. But Alicia says, I didn't have any lasagna all month as part of Lasagna Awareness Month. Although she said, in my defense, lasagna gives me
Alicia.
Heartburn. So it's okay. It's
okay,
all right.
Okay.
John says, hello from Colorado on Facebook. Hi, nice to have you along here. And let's get to what Brittany's here for. Tony Nashlin saying, the weather here is unsafe. Not cloudy.
Yeah.
Not cloudy. Just unsafe. The Canadian wildfire smoke is back, and it is back with a vengeance up here. I don't know how much across the state it spreads, but it is just a very gray morning here. And it just, I mean, even if you're young and healthy, it's just the environment is just not, it's suboptimal. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I am getting headaches. You know, the second you step outside, you can kind of feel it in your chest sometimes, too, at certain points.
Yeah.
All of these different things, burning eyes, watery eyes. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, statewide, we're all in the red. In fact, there are some very unhealthy levels right now into Door County, up into parts of northeastern areas of the Northwoods. But this thing is widespread statewide throughout Minnesota, the UP, the state of Michigan, all of Michigan on the other side of the lake. So it is just engulfing us right now, and it's pretty brutal. It does start to lift north as we go through this afternoon and evening. Now, I don't know exactly how fast that's going to happen. The alert and advisory expires at noon. I'd say it might linger here a little bit, but again, today it is still stuck here. Should be gone by tomorrow. We are looking at right now still fog, too, in some places north into Eagle River and Merrill. about low 40s far north right now to mid 60s down south in the state. And we've got some breezy winds. That's going to help kick and mix out this wildfire smoke as we go through the afternoon. They will be gusting around 15 to 30 miles per hour, prompting a beach hazard statement out on Lake Michigan. So those waves are going to be climbing up to 4 to 6 feet. She's going to be angry out there. She already is, actually. Dangerous currents. So stay away from those beaches. I wouldn't get in there if I were you. Plus, the temperatures are nice and refreshing. No need to really do that. Low to mid 70s today, statewide, all of us. If the wildfire smoke clears, more and more sunshine. Otherwise, it's going to be hazy out there. And of course, we are looking at comfortable conditions, dry conditions, as we close out the rest of this week. So this high pressure system is doing some good, but it's also the reason why this wildfire smoke is here.
Yeah, without a doubt. More from Robin Tigerton. Good morning. It's partly cloudy and 53. I mowed 3 yards in Tigerton yesterday, and I've got 3 yards in rural areas of Tigerton today. The sky reminded me of the skyline of Los Angeles, hazy, and you could smell the smoke. That it does. It has a very smog-like look to it, which, again, is smoke and fog, but you know the kind of smog in L.A. was also like air pollution-related, and this is definitely much more just about the, you know, the smoke instead. Let's see, and Rob did remind us that he had lasagna the other day. Oh, here, he says, the corn is tasseling nicely in the Tigerton area. So the warm and humid weather we had in most of July has done wonders for the corn crop. That is very true.
That's good.
And that's
good
what we like to hear.
Yeah, and there's also he said you can smell the smoke, especially those of us who have to work outside. Wisconsin has dangerous health levels from the wildfire smoke. And Alicia saying, this makes me feel so bad for the folks up in Canada. It's got to be so bad for them right now, because not just the smoke, but the flames, the fire that is destroying houses and ruining lives up there. It's just very unfortunate. And
very scary stuff.
We can only hope that it doesn't last too much longer, that they get the precipitation that they need. Brittany, we'll get an updated forecast from you in an hour. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And if you include our Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, it'll include a summary of the week in Wisconsin politics and a question of the week. This week, it's about cryptocurrency. Is it the future? Is it a scam? Is it a fad? Is it too soon to tell? And tomorrow on this fine program, you can get tickets to a future Brewers game. It'll be Free Ticket Friday, and we will give you a keyword tomorrow that you will text us using the Civic Media app. You're going to use the Civic Media app to text it because you're tech savvy that way. And on your phone, not only can you text us stuff through the Civic Media app, but you can get baseball tickets. And then you can use those tickets on your phone to get into American Family Field. If all of that describes you, then be part of Free Ticket Friday tomorrow. Get that keyword, text it in, win the tickets. It's a statewide drawing. And I'm telling you a day in advance so you can plan for this. The tickets we're giving away tomorrow, Friday, are for the next Friday when the Brewers are at home against the New York Mets. That's a Friday evening game of next week. So if you are interested in potentially winning those tickets, as was done recently by Jim in Brookfield, enter tomorrow. I don't know what else to tell you here. We were talking during the break about, Jim in Brookfield won this week's tickets. Well, last Friday's tickets. And we just wanted to know. I mean, we know he listens throughout the day, and we just want to know, did he win it from listening to our show? Was it the keyword from someplace else? And Jim texts in, I did send in 4 different keywords, one for Pat, one for Jane and Greg, one for Todd's show, one for Maggie's show. And we're very appreciative of that.
We are.
But he also wrote in, he brought his family. It was the Cubs, and there was a leadoff home run. And he said the leadoff home run by the Cubs was an eye-opener for my wife, who couldn't figure out why more than half the crowd was cheering loudly. She hadn't been to what some Chicagoans call Wrigley North, but despite the loss, we had a good time. And that's the bottom line. That's what we want to see.
That's true. It is. You know, it's hard to look at the bright side of things sometimes, Pat. I'm glad you can for me.
I can see the bright side of things, well, through the smoke.
Basically where, you got to squint a little, but it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to the leader of a national media group that is putting up billboards in Wisconsin and other parts of the country, doing something that you probably, I don't want to say take for granted, but you already know this detail about the big Trump mega bill, the one that, Derek Van Orden and all the other Republicans in Wisconsin voted for. that, yeah, it makes these massive cuts to programs. Some say, well, those are massive cuts in spending. That's what we got to do, is we got to cut our spending. It does not cut spending. It does not cut spending. It takes those cuts that would come to you and to your neighbors and to your family and gives them to millionaires and billionaires in the form of tax cuts. It's that simple, but a lot of folks still don't know that yet. And so that's what led to the billboard campaign, and we will talk to somebody who is leading the group and leading the effort to do that coming up a little later this hour. A reminder that coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is a candidate for governor, and she will be stopping by in our 8 o'clock hour tomorrow to talk to us more about her decision to run for governor, what it's been like serving with Governor Evers these past 4 years, her career as a nurse, and more of what drives her, what drove her to go into public service. She was not planning to be a state legislator and then lieutenant governor and then a candidate for governor. But she has a good story about what prompted her to make this career turn, and you'll hear all about it tomorrow morning in our 8 o'clock hour. By the way, the billboards that we're talking about in our next half hour, they're not the only communication out there with voters about the votes taken by Van Orden and others. This from Wispolitics, the League of Conservation Voters and House Majority PAC, that's a Democratic group, are targeting Congressman Van Orden as part of a new $700,000 digital buy that's been knocking Republicans over their support for the mega bill. The group says it will run on digital platforms in 10 other districts besides Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district during the August recess. They didn't break down how much they plan to spend per district, so we don't know how much of that is being spent on ads targeting Van Orden. When we say digital platforms, it means, you know, right before you watch a video on YouTube or on Facebook or even your games. I still play Words with Friends. Sherry and I send words back and forth. And sometimes you get a little commercial between the games. And usually it's for one of those goofy other games like Royal Match or something like that. But sometimes they're actual commercials. And more political groups are putting ads on every one of these digital platforms to target people who otherwise would not be news consumers. And so that's what you're seeing here. And in this particular campaign, the spot targeting Van Orden says that the plan takes Medicaid away from millions of Americans and removes clean energy from the electric grid just to provide a tax cut for the wealthy. The narrator says everything costs too much already, and Congressman Van Orden just voted to make it even worse. Now, Van Orden, to his credit, is not yet saying, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to be taking away all these jobs. I didn't mean to be taking away all these people's health care. He is instead sticking to his guns of saying that there are no Medicaid cuts in here that go to citizens and people who've earned them. And it's an amazing level of either delusion or cynicism that prompts that. And there's going to be a lot to be said to voters over these next, you know, however many months, 15 months or so, about what the actual case is with this mega bill. Also from Wispolitics, the Dane County Republican Party says it has filed a complaint with the Office of Congressional Ethics against Congressman Mark Pocan over business that his print shop has received from campaigns, including his own. But here's the thing, because Derek Van Orden brought this up last week, talking to Pocan, accusing him of, you know, funneling money from his campaign to buy signs from his company. But here's the thing. In the Wispolitics report, it notes the claims being made by the Dane County Republican Party in the announcement are contradicted by publicly available records from the Federal Election Commission. In other words, a lot of folks are just going to hear the first line of the news story. The Dane County Republican Party says it has filed a complaint with the Office of Congressional Ethics against Congressman Mark Pocan over business his print shop has received from campaigns. And some people are going to think, ooh, that sounds shady. So hopefully most media outlets, as they're sharing this, will also make clear that the claims are made up and that they are contradicted by Federal Election Commission records that you can go get and you can go look at right now. Anybody can file a complaint. Hopefully responsible newsrooms are putting that complaint in perspective, because it's fiction. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll be talking more about that billboard campaign about tax cuts for billionaires coming up at 7:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org. or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Amy Linz is here. She's one of the ambassadors, one of the four ambassadors for this year's Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Well, Amy, we say good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for taking the step forward and becoming an ambassador for GRACE. Let's tell your story a little bit. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Texas, on the Texas Gulf Coast, about an hour south of Houston, in a rural area. Not as, you know, hilly as here, not as cold as here, but definitely a rural area. And then I moved, after college, I moved up to Houston, and I lived there for about 15 years. And then I moved here 20 years ago now, next month. Next month is our 20th wedding anniversary. So for those people who know my husband, Al Linz, he's involved in a lot of things here in the community, or they probably knew my mother-in-law, Mary Linz, if they don't know Al, because she was a longtime Ithaca teacher. I met Al online before that was a thing, really, in 2003, if you can believe it. And we got married in 2005, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, that's exciting. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, does it?
No, time flies really fast. So I've been here 20 years, and I no longer wear my giant full-length down coat to Walmart. My first winter here, I did that. People would just stop and laugh in the store because it was ridiculous, but I was so cold the whole first year I lived here.
And that was the summertime, right?
Yeah, I ordered that coat from Lands' End as soon as like October arrived.
Yeah. So you had to make the transition, that's for sure. And you became the wife of a farmer too.
Yes, Alan was still doing his dairy farming then, and then moved into beef. around 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And then eventually, you know, now he's retired from the farming, but transitioning to being a wife on a farm. And I worked from home now for 20 years. I still work for my same company that I worked for in Houston. And so that was an adventure. It was all new. And that was a rare thing back then. But now pretty much everybody works from home in my company. And yeah, so living on the farm for 20 years has been quite an adventure.
So tell us a little about the start of your cancer journey. How long ago was that, Amy?
2 years ago, actually, almost exactly 2 years ago, two years ago in the beginning of August. And my journey started with four really terrifying words, which are, I felt a lump. Oh. So I felt a lump. And actually, if you kind of back up a little bit, my journey actually starts a little bit earlier than that with COVID, because I had a mammogram scheduled when the world shut down. And so did, you know, those kinds of services. And then 3 years went by and I had never rescheduled. Life gets busy. I came down with COVID. There was a lot of things involved in that. But basically, you know, a lot of people got behind on those things, scans and whatnot. And I want to say early detection is super important and it definitely saves lives. But detection is better than no, you know, late detection is better than no detection. And I should have been getting, you know, caught up on those things and I didn't. And that's life. And other people may have that same story. There shouldn't be guilt or embarrassment about that. That's just how it happened for me. And so I felt a lump and I immediately panicked, of course. And it was on a weekend, so I couldn't really do anything about it. But then when Monday came, I immediately got in touch with my doctor, who at the time was Dr. Baylink. A lot of people know her. She's since retired. And she took it super seriously right from the beginning, got me in immediately. In fact, worked me into the schedule to get me in immediately and do that exam so that she could make a referral. And I will say that from the beginning, I knew this was cancer. Like, I just knew it because it was hard, like a little marble, and it felt very different from anything else, you know, in all my years of doing self-exams, as we're taught to do. And later my surgeon told me the smallest lump you can probably feel in a breast anyway is 2 centimeters. And that's quite large for a tumor. And so my tumor was over 2 centimeters because I could feel it. And so immediately got into scans and then biopsies and then a consultation with the surgeon. And the next thing you know, I have the diagnosis confirmed and we do a lumpectomy. So that was like 4 or 6 weeks really from the time that I felt the lump to I'm having a consultation for surgery. And then 2 weeks after that, I'm having surgery. It moves really fast. But after the surgery, then I was able to do some other testing with my doctor. We confirmed through the pathology, they take the tumor and they, you know, examine it to tell you what kind of cancer you have. I didn't really know this about breast cancer, but there are 17 kinds of breast cancer. There's not one kind. There's different hormone positive, hormone negative, HER2 positive, HER2 negative. You know, there's just all these combinations of things that are a factor that affect the diagnosis and the treatment and the prognosis of your breast cancer. There are different gene expressions, I guess, that can come into play. I didn't have any gene mutations, so I got lucky. My cancer was just a luck of the draw, random. It wasn't a genetic component. And so then that formed my treatment plan from there. So the surgery happened. They took out lymph nodes, which were negative. My final diagnosis was stage 1, which is a great prognosis. And then I was diagnosed with hormone receptor positive breast cancer. So then that led to meetings with some new doctors, a hormone therapy doctor, an endocrine oncologist, and a radiation oncologist. And so we made my treatment plan. I did not need chemo, which I'm glad. I did not need chemotherapy because of the characteristics of my tumor. So they did some testing and I have a really low score on that. So that sort of informs how they treat it. And so then from there, I did radiation in Madison at UW. And now I see my endocrine doctor on a regular basis and I'm on hormone therapy for 5 years. And I'm considered in, you know, no evidence of disease. The margins were clear on my tumor. There was no evidence of cancer in my lymph nodes. So for now, we assume I don't have any I could have it in my body and it could be dormant. So there's always a fear of recurrence. But for now, I'm no evidence of disease. I'm moving on with my life. And then I'm finding out that once you finish your treatment, cancer is not over. It's not done with you.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
A lot of trade talk in the headlines, including the U.S.-China trade negotiations in Stockholm. But what does it really mean for agriculture? I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Market advisor John Heinberg joins us. He's with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. John says the agreements and conversations so far between the U.S. and trade partners haven't had much teeth for agriculture.
You know, looking over some of those trade deals, they're nice. They're good for in terms of media, things of that nature, you know, getting some things off the table, maybe getting some set plans. There really hasn't been a lot of teeth to some of these that really support agriculture in that regard. A lot of the agreements are at least setting some targets for potential imports of U.S. products. But a lot of those targets are within what the parameters are, what those countries have been taking in the past. I guess the encouraging side is those are guarantees or supposedly guarantees that they will take those bushels or those pounds of beef or pounds of pork or whatever product that it may be into their country.
The U.S.-China negotiations in Stockholm have concluded. John Heinberg says right now, China is getting by without U.S. products because of the strength of the crops and South America. That's one thing that's affected the market price, is that demand from China hasn't been at the levels we'd like to see. Will that change? Time and negotiations will tell. More farm news coming your way.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Dairy Pride is back in focus. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, one of the largest dairy co-ops in the country, is throwing its support behind this new federal legislation aimed at protecting the integrity of dairy labels. This week, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators introduced the Dairy Pride Act of 2025. The goal is simple: stop plant-based products from using dairy terms like milk, cheese, and yogurt. Edge President and dairy farmer Heidi Fisher urges lawmakers to act swiftly to keep misleading product names off of grocery store shelves. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Unfortunately, most all of us know someone who's been touched by cancer. On our next show, we'll be at WRCE in Richland Center to talk Walk with Grace, a great benefit for those who are suffering.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
There's no shortage of ways to describe the ways in which the Trump mega bill is predominantly geared toward corporations and the very wealthy. There is a massive cut to the corporate income tax rate that is made permanent. There have been multiple analyses on the bill that show that, for example, the people in the bottom 20% of earners will see a 0.5% increase in their after-tax income compared to about five times that amount for people in the top 20%. But not everybody knows that. And so that's what led to a discussion that I held yesterday with a gentleman who runs a group that's putting up billboards all around the country, including here in Wisconsin. Let's visit now with Faz Shakir. He's the founder and executive director of the media organization, More Perfect Union. Faz, thank you for being here, by the way. Let's start with a description of what More Perfect Union is.
Well, Pat, we launched this thing in 2021. And we're a media organization of, by, and for working class people to tell the stories of economic justice through their lens. You know, when I launched in 2021, I had just come off with managing Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. And I felt that there was a challenge of trying to tell the stories of real working class lives in this environment in which we feel like the perspectives of the wealthy is really captured in a lot of traditional media outlets. Whether if you're watching CNBC or reading the Wall Street Journal, they're really often telling you the perspective of the C-suite, the executives, the big shareholders. And you know, my frustration has long been, but what about like if you're an Amazon worker who's organizing? What if you're a national park ranger who's having to go about your job and the struggles of what you're trying to deal with in this modern economy? So the goal of the organization is just tell the stories of working class people and try to tie those to solutions.
Well, we were just noting on our show yesterday, on Wednesday, that is the 60th anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid, and the number of Amazon workers and McDonald's workers and Walmart workers who are also on Medicaid is astonishing. And I don't think people are necessarily aware of it. Similarly, the billboards you're putting up tell a story for something that I think some of us take for granted, but many people still don't know about the budget cuts in the Trump mega bill. And how they're not necessarily savings. This is essentially a transfer of wealth. Is that pretty much the story behind the billboards?
They are takings, right, Pat? So that's right. And so the billboards that you're referring to say, we make, they take. And the takings that we're referring to here are Medicaid, people on Medicaid who are working. I mean, the great mythology as you're referencing is that somehow people on Medicaid, Medicare are not working, or haven't earned these benefits. The real truth of them is if you work 20 hours at Dollar General, right, who's stopping you from working 40, 45 hours at Dollar General? It's often Dollar General. The bosses are. A lot of workers are trying to get to a place where they're earning more and having more benefits. If you're driving Uber 30 hours a week, Uber isn't giving you health care. They aren't giving you retirement benefits. So a lot of these major corporations are saddling the federal government with the responsibility of providing health care, providing any degree of retirement to working class people, and they're making billions of dollars. So in our view, here you got a bill that says, well, we're going to give tax breaks to the richest in this country because they are the great creators of our economy. They need more money. And what they have been doing with this money is literally taking away health care and retirement. That is what Amazon kind of created, right? As the modern economy is, we're going to have thousands of workers and none of them will have health care. None of them will have decent retirement benefits. So they are literally taking now at this stage the actual little health care that many of these workers had.
Well, it's like I was saying, for the Medicaid anniversary, there's 71 million Americans on it. And a lot of Republicans say, well, that, see how big that number is? So many people that say their income is low enough to qualify for Medicaid, which to me begs the question, then why don't we do something if so many Americans make so little that they qualify for Medicaid? This is as much a wage problem as it is a healthcare issue.
And an easy solution that's frustrated me for a long time is you want to compel McDonald's, which has tons of franchisees. Again, it's a problem with having a major corporation that is largely executed through franchises. You have Uber, you have Amazon, you have Dollar General. A lot of these, Walmart, a lot of these companies that are billions of dollars in profits. And why not compel them? You have to provide healthcare to your employees. You have to provide a retirement benefit to your point. You remember, Pat, we're just a few decades ago where that was the assumption. If you were going to go work at a major corporation, you were going to get a decent benefit that raised the standards of everyone. And now, of course, you got union busting all over the place. You got companies trying to exploit workers in every which way possible. And now they are refusing to provide even the basic minimum of what you need to live. And now you're right that there's been a transfer, right? So the federal government's owning more and more of this responsibility. And now the Republicans say, well, oh, it's just growing so much. We have to take it away. Well, you could compel the corporations of America, provide health care to your employees. This would solve a major problem.
The billboard campaign was announced to be launched across 9 states, including boards in Milwaukee. Is that still the case, or has the campaign changed at all since the initial rollout?
No, you got it right, Pat. We're going to try to be as many places as we can trying to tell a story that's more than just the anti-Trump perspective. I think a lot of people got that, right? That Trump has a certain vision and ideology, and he's executed now this twice, right? First tax bill, now second tax bill, this first term, now second term. So I think people got that sense. But what we're trying to do is also make sure that there's a narrative and a story of who is benefiting. And it's not just Donald Trump, right? It's the beneficiaries are these wealthy people that you see. And we mentioned, Musk is one of them. Bezos is another. Zuckerberg. These are the people who've really thrown in with Trump and are now getting the return of their business model thriving under Donald Trump.
And yeah, those billboards, they do have the different billionaire CEOs. You mentioned Musk and Zuckerberg and Bezos. Peter Thiel from PayPal is on there as well. Have they essentially made themselves the public face of this transfer of wealth? I mean, do you feel, I think Elon Musk is a pretty easy one. Because of his role with the Trump administration. But between the four of them on there, do you feel like that creates the best narrative for the middle class who drive by these billboards to understand the way wealth is moving toward those four individuals, among others?
Well, at least three of them, you'll remember, Elon and Bezos and Zuckerberg were sitting right behind Donald Trump as he was inaugurated. They volunteered that we, the billionaire class, are throwing in with this guy and are so proud of it that we're going to sit right here and feel like we have a degree of ownership over the direction of this country. And to my mind, it's trying to pull this a little bit out of the partisan politics. I would hope that more people see and understand the major problem we have is, Bezos would love to buy the Democratic Party too, right? It isn't just like he's got the opportunity with the Republican Party because they got the trifecta. They own the presidency, the Republican Senate, and the Republican House. So that's where he's going to be spending his money, his effort, his energies to try to extract gains for himself. But if the tides were to turn, he would also love, and has in the past, given money to try to purchase, a direction of a Democratic side or any other side. And it's the job of people who want to serve in public office to operate with integrity and fight for people beyond themselves. That is really, to my mind, the meaning of being in public life, that you are willing to use power and authority to fight for other people besides yourself. And we are in a state, sadly, Pat, where there's a lack of integrity. The corruption of a system, both politically and economically, is at heightened levels. And I think we're all hunting and searching for the people who want to be willing to take on powerful actors, know that it's going to be painful, but do it with integrity on behalf of actual working class folks.
We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's the founder and executive director of the media organization More Perfect Union, which has launched a billboard campaign in Wisconsin and other states about the Trump mega bill and the tax cuts for billionaires. This is not your first billboard campaign, if I'm not mistaken, that you've also called out the Doge cuts earlier. And do you already have something in mind for where you're going from here to keep these issues top of mind for Americans as they see these billboards?
Yeah, well, in my view, you know, a lot of these billboards have been put up in places that are, you know, we'll call red or, you know, purple, at least, you know, places where they are not core Democratic voters. They're trying to speak to people who may have voted a different way. And the first billboards that you mentioned were about the cuts to national park rangers and national park staff and really unnecessary, heinous efforts to attack people who, in my mind, serve as the best ethos of America. And I was talking about integrity with you before, Pat, right? Here's National Park Service staff whose job, they don't make tons of money off these jobs. They do these to improve your standard of living as you come into a national park. National parks are available to all people, regardless of income. Great thing that we want to maintain. And yet Doge said, oh, this is a place we want to go after. And I thought when we did the first billboard campaign, there were a lot of Republicans concerned, say, hey, you know, I like Donald Trump. I like some of the things he's doing. This is a step way too far for me. And I'm trying to own that persuasion mindset in this moment. I can appreciate and respect that people will vote for Trump, vote for Republicans for a whole host of reasons. But I want to explain it on the issues of class and who fights for working people. It is, in my view, the issue of our time. And it is the issue that is often least covered through traditional media, thanks to you and others who are trying to do it through alternative forms of media. And it requires like having trying to get messages through to folks because they aren't ordinarily going to see it. They aren't ordinarily going to hear about, oh, you know, Doge cuts on National Park staff, or they're not going to hear about, oh, Jeff Bezos is making out like a robber baron with his tax bill. I want to make sure, you know, as we get through the course of the next, you know, few years, that class-based conversations are had.
And it's beyond the billboards as well. I note that on your YouTube channel, it notes that you're an Emmy-winning nonprofit newsroom. You can go to More Perfect Union on YouTube and see all the other multimedia ways that you're trying to get this message out.
That is the principal way we try to get this message out. I have a staff of 35 people, and we do journalism every day. We're all over the country trying to tell stories of, you know, data centers right now. For instance, they're taking over a lot of communities and towns, pilfering the water, pilfering electricity, raising energy costs on working class people. Also, all just so Elon Musk can create Grok, or, you know, that we can have some kind of AI chatbot. You know, like really to screw with workers in that way, we really have a fundamental problem of too few actors have way too much power. And you see this particularly in big tech. With the onset of AI, and our job at More Perfect Union is just to make sure we are telling the stories from those who are getting screwed right now, and to suggest there could be a different way, a better way.
Apart from the YouTube channel, is there anything else that you would like to motivate people to do if they see the billboards, if they see the videos?
Well, I'd love for them to sign up on our email list. I mean, if you go to perfectunion.us, you'll see our website there, and you can sign up for our email list there. And then also all our other channels. We're on TikTok, Instagram, all the major platforms. And thankfully, we're doing quite well with views and, you know, growing very well at this point in time. But I would love even more support, please.
Faz Shakir, founder and executive director of More Perfect Union. Thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
You're kind to have me. Thank you, Pat.
A couple of more notes on, again, the impact of this bill on taxes, because we've talked so much about in generalities. But here are the numbers as the bill has been studied. From the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, nearly 60% of the tax cut benefits go to the top 20% of incomes. So 60% of the benefits going to people earning $217,000 and above. You know, millionaires and billionaires. And then Penn Wharton looked at a budget model with an impact on lifetime income. Once you figure in the effect of cuts to Medicaid and food assistance, households in the bottom 20% will experience a lifetime value of loss of $27,500. By contrast, in the top 20%, they will gain value of $65,000. And then what about the folks right in the middle? Well, you'll get a slight, maybe $500 benefit lifetime from the tax cuts. But if you need any of those programs that are being cut, you are going to be out of luck. A local update is next for some of you. Others, some more news and notes from here on Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals. So I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Amy Linz is here. She's one of the ambassadors, one of the 4 ambassadors for this year's Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. So they think you caught it early, then, it sounds like.
Yes, I did catch it early. And my particular type of breast cancer was very slow growing. I call it the turtle of breast cancers. Some other types of breast cancer are much more aggressive. The tumors grow really fast. And my doctor, she can't really tell how long has that been there. But based on the size of the tumor, you know, maybe it would have been caught if I had done my mammogram on time and the world hadn't happened. But I didn't. And that's, you know, you deal with the results. So I got lucky. I got lucky that it wasn't an aggressive tumor. I got lucky that it was a slower growing type of cancer. I got lucky that it hadn't spread to my lymph nodes. And so, you know, I should buy lottery tickets at this point.
How did life change for you then, Amy?
Well, you know, it's funny because one of the reasons I decided to be an ambassador is that everybody deals with this differently. And some people, you know, want to be really open. I've had other friends with breast cancer, and that's in my age group. You know, I'm in the 50s and the 60s. A lot of women get the kind of breast cancer I had. A lot of younger women get this more aggressive kind of breast cancer. So the particular age group I'm in, I knew some other women who had been going through this, and some were very open on social media. Some had set up like a private group but then invited all their friends, you know, into a private social media group. I did none of that. I didn't tell anybody. I mean, I told Alan, of course, and like two good friends, and that was it. I didn't tell anybody else, and I just went on my business. I only missed 2 days of work throughout this. My biopsy day and my surgery day, and I was back at work because I work from home the next day. I didn't take time off work, and then radiation, I got radiation treatments at like the latest possible appointment. So I'd leave home at 3, drive to Madison, get my treatment, be back home by like 7 or 8 o'clock at night and do that for my radiation treatment. And that was what worked for me. But that, you know, doesn't work for everybody. Some people need that care and support. I didn't want to worry my family, which are all like 2,000 miles away from me and can't really be here and help me. A lot of my friends live far away. And so I just made the decision that until I knew more, because I was convinced I was going to die, you know, in my head, I'm like, all of this is happening. I didn't want to tell people until I knew the diagnosis and the prognosis. And so I managed it in the way that I felt was right for me. But that's not right for everybody. And I guess I want people to know there's no one right way to have cancer, and there's no one right way to be a friend of someone who has cancer. And so you just figure that out as you go along. As I got more into the journey, those of you who know Alan and know my mother-in-law, you know, he is a real saint in my book, because I was dealing with this diagnosis and treatment, and he was dealing with a wife with a diagnosis and treatment and a mother who was in the last year of her life. And he was her full-time caregiver. And so we were managing a lot of stuff. And, you know, you just make it work. It, like any other life thing, you figure out how to go along. And then I figured out I needed help, professional help. So last fall, I was really dealing with a lot of anxiety and stress and depression over this. Fear of recurrence, irrational fear of, you know, this is never going to be over, started to take hold of me. And that's when I sought out mental health from UW. They have a staff of oncologists, therapy professionals who deal specifically with oncology. So they have like oncology therapists that will work with cancer patients specifically, no matter what stage you're in, whether you're in treatment or you're done. And I spent time with them sort of getting my act together and learning strategies to cope with this fact that this is always here hanging over my head. It could be 5 years, 10 years, never. I mean, who knows, right? And how to deal with that in your life was the biggest challenge I've ever had to face, really. And I didn't know how to deal with it and how to cope with it. And so I did get professional help. And I'm also here to say that's okay, too. There's a lot of stigma around getting mental health care, and it was so vital to my recovery, because I'm still recovering since my cancer diagnosis and my treatment has been over. And I was stage one, like best case, right? I didn't have to even have chemo, and I thought, wow, I'm so lucky, I'm not gonna have all these side effects. Wrong. So I developed lymphedema. I wear this lovely little compression sleeve now, and that's because when they take out your lymph nodes to test them, those lymph nodes are now gone. There's tissue that's damaged around where they had to extract those lymph nodes, and your lymph fluid doesn't flow properly through your body anymore. And for a fair percentage of breast cancer patients, they end up with the lymphedema, edema, swelling in the arm, and just the lymph fluid doesn't flow properly anymore. So there's exercises you have to do. There's garments you can wear to keep it under control and keep it from becoming unmanageable. So that's another new normal. And then just when I thought I was, you know, had that under control, I started developing a lot of back pain, which also triggered the mental thoughts of like, oh gosh, the cancer's back, right? I mean, anything, like you stub your toe and you think now you've got cancer in your toe. It's just, that's how your brain starts to react to these things. So when I went to my new doctor, because Dr. Billing had retired, you know, she was very good with me and she referred me to physical therapy. And so what we've kind of come up with, also talking to my oncology doctors, is the radiation treatment has caused fibrosis in my chest wall and some in my under my arm and in my back. And so all the muscles are connected together. And so I don't have pain where the radiation was, but I've got a lot of restrictions now in my back. So I spend a lot of time in local physical therapy, and that's probably going to be my new normal too. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what's next, right? Hormone therapy is not a barrel of monkeys either. It has a lot of side effects. And so you just take everything one day at a time. You take the next thing as it comes. You handle that. Then there's another thing. And I think that's the way it's going to be. It's like a chronic illness now for me in some senses, even though I'm done with treatment. And Grace helped me a lot. I had not been involved with Grace ever. I mean, I bought things and auction items and, you know, brought stand stuff, but I'd never been involved in a team or gone to any Grace events.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, in Israel today discussing the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Another 47 people were killed overnight trying to get food, and doctors have warned that Gaza is on the brink of famine. Canada joining Britain and France and saying it will recognize Palestinian statehood at the U.N. General Assembly next month. Bond denied for the man charged with killing an Arkansas couple on a hiking trail last weekend. 28-year-old Andrew McGann is a fifth-grade teacher in Oklahoma, as recently as last year. Extreme turbulence on a flight from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. At least 25 people were sent to the hospital following the plane's diverted landing in Minneapolis.
I will hand it to the flight attendants. They were incredibly calm, very well-trained, and very responsive.
Passenger Leanne Clement Nash. As many as 50 aftershocks following that 8.9 magnitude earthquake in the Pacific this week. No tsunami advisories.